right, so we're continuing our series called My Living My Jesus Story. And today I'm speaking out of Philippians chapter 2, verses 19 through 30. So if you've got your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn from there. We'll read that in just a couple minutes. We all have people in our lives that we look up to and that we admire. Whether we know them personally one-on-one or not, we look to these people for inspiration, for encouragement, for instruction. We look to them as an example. We look for people who have been where we want to go so that we can learn how they got there. We can learn from their mistakes and we can learn from the characteristics in their lives that help them to get to where they are because that's where we want to go. And we try to learn and follow their path. Some people that I look up to is I look up to Billy Graham for finishing his life well without scandal or moral failure. I look to people like Smith Wigglesworth for his audacious faith, John G. Lake for his radical view of healing and supernatural health. I look to people like Bill Johnson, who when he speaks, the depth of knowledge that he has of scripture and the revelation that he pulls out and shares, I'm just amazed at. And then I look at people like T.D. Jakes, who may very well be one of the best communicators that I have ever heard. The way that he preaches and applies the scripture is incredible. And I look at these people and I see their characteristics and I learn from them and I try to grow in those same areas in my life. See, in Philippians, Paul writes about two men that we can look to as examples of people who lived their Jesus story well. It's Timothy and Epaphroditus. See, what we read when Paul wrote about them in Philippians chapter 2, 19 through 30, we can read that and we can look at the characteristics that they had in their lives and how they lived their Jesus story well, and we can emulate those things as we try to live our own Jesus story. And you can guarantee this, that when Paul, who is an incredible man of God, when he highlights people for how they're living their lives, we should stand up and take notice. All right, Philippians chapter 2, starting at verse 19. It says, "But I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, so that I may also be encouraged by learning news about you. For I have no one else like him who is so kindred a spirit who will be genuinely concerned for your spiritual welfare. For others who deserted me after my arrest all seek to advance their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know of Timothy's tested worth and his proven character, that he has served with me to advance the gospel like a son serving his father. Therefore, I hope that it is his will to send him immediately just as soon as I can see how my case turns out. And I trust confidently in the Lord that I will also soon be coming to you. However, I thought it necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, who has been my brother and companion and fellow soldier, who was also sent as a messenger to take care of my needs. For he has been longing for you all and was distressed because you had heard that he was sick. He certainly was sick and close to death, but God had mercy on him. And not only on him, but also on me, so that I would not have sorrow upon sorrow. So I have sent him all the more eagerly so that when you see him again, you may rejoice and I may be less concerned about you. Welcome him home in the Lord with great joy and appreciate and honor men like him because he came close to death for the work of Christ, risking his life to complete what was lacking in your service to me, which distance prevented you from rendering personally." Timothy and Epaphroditus. What Paul highlights about these two men is not the same because they have different stories to live out. See, living my Jesus story is not me trying to live and to do and to act and to be like someone else. It's not trying to do all the same things that someone else is doing that I admire. It's about living the story that Jesus has called me to live. I live my story and you live your story. It's living out my purpose on the earth, not someone else's purpose on the earth. So let's look at Timothy and Epaphroditus as good examples to learn from so that we can better live our Jesus story. And I want to point out three things, three characteristics that Paul highlights about Timothy in verses 19 through 24. Number one, Timothy loved people. And Timothy is a pastor at heart. Paul writes that he wants to send Timothy to the Philippians because he wants to know how they're doing. And he wants to send somebody that will love and care for them the same way that he does. See, Paul is in prison and he obviously can't go, so he wants to send someone in his place. Timothy, with his pastor's heart, has a genuine concern and care for people. He cares how they're doing because he really, truly loves them. See, it speaks to the depth of his love when Paul, who planted the church in Philippi, he's writing to the church that he started from scratch, from the ground up, when he writes, I'm sending you Timothy because he will love you the same way that I do. Generally speaking, no one loves like a father or a mother. But this isn't the case with Timothy. Paul says he loves you the same way that I do. See, when we're living our Jesus story, we absolutely must love people. Period. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 8, John writes, Beloved, let us unselfishly love and seek the best for one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves others is born of God and knows God through personal experience. The one who does not love has not become acquainted with God, does not and never did know him, for God is love. He is the originator of love, and it is an enduring attribute of his nature. God is love. See, if we do not love people, then we do not, nor have we ever known God. And I know, I understand that these are strong statements, but these are the Apostle John's statements that I'm just repeating. See, love is the calling card of all true children of God, all true sons and daughters of the Father. Their calling card is love. They are marked with love. See, if God is love, and we have God living on the inside of us, then shouldn't that mean love should be flowing through us always at all times? Bob Goff says it this way. Every time I wonder who I should love and for how long I should love them, God continues to whisper to me, everybody, always. Everybody, always. The second characteristic I want to point out about Timothy is that Timothy loved the kingdom. See, Paul points out that there were other people that were working with him, that were with him, who have deserted him. And they deserted the work of Jesus. Why? He says, to advance their own interests and their own agendas. We still see this thing happening today, where people will claim the name of Jesus, but they're not concerned with the king or his kingdom. They just simply throw around the name Jesus and they throw around the label Christian. And then everybody looks at them and says, what kind of a Christian is that? And what kind of Jesus do you serve? The answer is, they don't serve him. See, if we are going to live our Jesus story, then we have to continually examine our hearts, our motives, and our agendas before the Lord to ensure that we are actually pursuing his kingdom and his agenda. We have to guard against getting so caught up in the work of the Lord that we leave the Lord of the work behind. So how do I know if I'm pursuing my agenda or if I'm pursuing my own self-interest? I ask myself these questions. I'm going to give you three questions that I ask myself. Do I care who gets the credit for what I'm doing? If I died today, would the work continue without me? Do I have to be the one leading front and center? I ask myself those three questions. And then I turn to the Lord and I ask the Holy Spirit these three questions. Holy Spirit, what are the motives of my heart? Am I doing what you're doing or asking you to join what I'm doing? Because there's a big difference. If I'm just over here working away and I'm saying, hey, Holy Spirit, could you come bless this and bless what I'm doing? Or if I notice that Holy Spirit's over here doing this, if I'm just like, he's already here doing it, I might as well jump in. And number three, in what I'm doing, do people know you or do they just know me? See, Timothy not only loved Jesus the King, but he also loved Jesus' kingdom. And he served Jesus' agenda and interests on the earth. The last characteristic of Timothy is that he loved his leader. Paul refers to Timothy as his son. And there is a special relationship between these two men. You don't just toss that word around to just anybody. Say, look, wow, that's my son and that's my son. No, that's reserved for people who have a special place in your heart, a special place in your life. Timothy had proven his character and worth in working with Paul to advance the gospel of Jesus. Timothy had experienced difficulty and persecution and hardship working alongside Paul. Together, they experienced confrontations with religious people and religious groups that wanted nothing to do with Jesus and the gospel. They wanted to keep everybody obeying the Old Testament law. They also had conflicts and experienced physical harm from non-believers that thought that they wanted nothing to do with Jesus. See, these two men, they've been through some stuff together. But Timothy's proof is in his pudding. He'd been through some stuff. He was tried. He was tested. And he was approved. See, no one in their right mind would endure all of that for someone that they didn't love. This is the love that a son shows a father. This is a together to the end bond that can only be compared to the blood relationship of father and son. See, when we live our Jesus story, we love our leaders. Every one of us has leaders. It doesn't matter who you are, what position you hold, in a company, in a church, in an organization, it doesn't matter. Every one of us has a leader. We are called to love them. See, we are the family of God. We read about that in Scripture. Paul talks about how we are the family of God, and within this family, we have a Father. Capital F, Father God. He is the Father of our family. But then we also have fathers in the faith. And these are those that lead us. These are those that invest in us, that spend time with us, that are used to bring discipline. Yes, sometimes discipline, but also encouragement and love and maturity to us in our relationship with Jesus. These are our fathers in the faith. Listen, this is not an unquestioned loyalty no matter what. This is an unconditional love and honor. This is committing to a covenantal relationship that isn't fair weather based on the circumstances or the situations that we're going through. Timothy shows us that living our Jesus story means that we love people, that we love the kingdom, and we love our leaders. And Paul goes on to talk about and to write about Epaphroditus and how he is sending him back to Philippi. He's sending him back because Philippi is his home church. This is where Epaphroditus is from. This is where he lives. But he was sent by the church to bring resources to Paul for the work of the ministry. Literally, he was sent to provide for Paul's needs. And he took things from the church, and offering resources, supplies, materials, and he went to Paul to serve Paul so that Paul could be free to do the work of the ministry. While he was with Paul, Epaphroditus became sick. And he almost died. His church, his home church, his sending church was completely brokenhearted when they had heard how sick he was and how close to death he was. And Paul wanted them, his concern was for them to be relieved and filled with joy to have their faithful friend back and in good health. And there are two characteristics that I want to pull from Epaphroditus' life that we can apply to our life as we live our Jesus story. Number one, Epaphroditus cared for the needs of Paul. Now, I know that this sounds very similar to Timothy's love for his leader and for Timothy loving people, but it's different. See, in that Timothy was serving alongside Paul. They were arm in arm. They were shoulder to shoulder. Epaphroditus was serving Paul. See, his assignment from the church in Philippi was to go and to provide for and to serve Paul so that all of his needs would be met. In our loving people, As I talked about with Timothy, we must not miss caring for their needs. James chapter 2 talks about this. He talks about it in light of faith and good works. And this is what he says. Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well. But then you don't give that person any food or clothing. He says, what good does that do? So you see, faith by itself isn't enough. Unless it produces good deeds, it is dead and useless. So if we have faith and we say, yes, I have faith in Christ, but we don't produce any good deeds, then clearly, James says, our faith is dead and it is useless. My faith in Jesus should lead me to do good works, caring for the needs of those around me, like is the example that James gives. Epaphroditus cared less about his life than the work of Jesus. He had an obvious revelation about eternity, because who on earth risks their life for something that has no eternal importance, that has no actual value? See, when you're living your Jesus story, you live with eternity in mind. Earlier in Philippians, and I touched on it like 2 or 3 weeks ago, Paul wrote, he says, to live is Christ and to die is gain. See, Paul lived with eternity in mind, and Epaphroditus clearly caught this by being around Paul, and he understood that you can't lose when you live your Jesus story. Live or die, we win. And the phrase that Paul uses when he talked about Epaphroditus risking his life is actually a Greek gambling term that literally means he bet his life on it. Epaphroditus bet his life on Jesus. He was living all in. If the game of life was like a poker game, he took all of his chips and he pushed them into the middle and he goes, I'm going all in. I'm letting it ride. I'm betting my life on Jesus. There was nothing he was holding back in his service to Jesus. And listen, it didn't matter how unglamorous it was. His assignment was to meet the needs of Paul, so that Paul could declare and demonstrate the gospel of Jesus. Epaphroditus wasn't out there preaching to the masses and laying hands on the sick and you know, doing all that stuff. That's not what it says his assignment was. That's what Paul's assignment was. He wasn't on the front lines, but he believed what he was doing was worth betting his life on to play his part in advancing the kingdom. Because there are no small stories when you live your Jesus story. There are no small stories and there are no small roles. Nobody would look at Mother Teresa that gave her life sitting in the dirt, loving and caring for the leprous and the poor and the orphan and the widow. Nobody would look at her and say, what a waste of a life. How unglamorous that was. She was living her Jesus story. And it wasn't to preach to the masses, huge crusades, front and center, on the conference speaking tour. And not that there's anything wrong with that. But Epaphroditus showed us that we need to care more about Jesus and Jesus' work than we do about our own lives, regardless of the assignment that he gives us. See, we learn from the lives of Timothy and Epaphroditus, these two men, that living our Jesus story looks like loving people, loving the kingdom, loving our leaders, caring for the needs of people, and caring less about our lives and more about the work of Jesus. Now, I understand those five things, chances are you're not going to remember them. It's okay. You can find them in the passage again. It's all good. But I can summarize this entire message in one statement. Now, you might be sitting there thinking, one statement? Why have you been talking for 20 minutes when you could have got up here, read the passage, and given me one statement? We could have all gone home. I don't know. Because there are some things in there that I think that you needed to hear. Here's the one statement. I can summarize it all up in this one statement. Do not miss this. This is worth the price of admission. My Jesus story isn't about me. It's not about me. It's about all the other people. You don't read anywhere in the scriptures where this life that I live following Jesus is about me. He says, come follow me. Pick up your cross. Let's die together. It's a death to self because it's not about me. So I end with this quote that I once read. In a world of selfishness and self-seeking, it is rare to find someone so concerned with others. That was written about Timothy and Epaphroditus. Let me pray. Holy Spirit, I pray that you take these words, this passage, this scripture, and that you bury them deep inside of our spirits. God, that there was things that I said that your presence would just rest on those words and it would spark something in our family. That it would bring about transformation and change and a depth of commitment and love for others that we have never known or never seen. God, may we live our Jesus story with the reality that it's not about me. And for those that don't know you, Jesus, I pray that you continue to speak to them, that you continue to knock on their heart, that you continue to pour out kindness and love on them, and that it would lead to repentance and relationship with you. In Jesus' name, amen.